from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. An estimated 10 million alcoholics live in the U.S., so it's no surprise that a lot of energy has gone into trying to understand the disease. Over the last decade, scientists have found that alcoholism is a disorder of the brain, like depression, with roots in a person's particular genetic code or brain chemistry. And that recognition has led to new research on why some people are so susceptible to alcoholism and what can be done for them. As Amy Stannin reports.
Joseph McHugh is an artist who lives in San Francisco. And to anyone who works with alcoholics, his story is depressingly familiar.
It sort of picked up the speed in the last number of years. It sort of got out of control. It wasn't starting at 5 o'clock. It was starting at noon, where I'd have a couple of shots at noon and so forth.
He was having blackouts.
No, you just don't remember. You get told what you did.
Like what? I ask him.
Things I don't really want to even mention, okay?
What brought McHugh here to the VA Medical Center in San Francisco was a heart attack. It literally terrified him into sobriety. He's been dry a month now, slogging through recovery with other men whose lives have also become simply untenable.
It's always a crisis, and it can be a marital crisis, a family crisis, job termination.
Peter Banas is director of substance abuse programs at the VA Medical Center in San Francisco. He says thanks to all the recent research on alcoholism, people like McHugh have more options than ever, including AA, therapy, and medication, which can be very effective in preventing relapse. But the meds are a tough sell, Banas says. That's because his patients think of their alcoholism as a moral weakness. They think they should be stronger.
One of the things we hear a lot is, I don't want to depend on a drug. They've been depending on a drug for 25 years, but now they don't want to depend on one of ours.
To chip away at this reluctance, Banas and his colleagues at the San Francisco VA are doing something unusual. They've created a class for alcoholics taught by VA researchers like Timothy Durazzo. Durazzo starts with a slide of a brain cell or neuron.
Now let's talk about the basic structure of a neuron.
To me, it looks like an insect.
It's an insect you want, though, because if you're missing a bunch of them, you're not going to be able to do much.
Then Durazzo gets to the heart of this lecture. Those little bug-like neurons, this is where alcohol does its most basic, insidious damage.
Alcohol is particularly hard on your dendrites, or your antennas. It's real hard on your myelin.
Complicated stuff, and it gets more so. Alcohol affects different people's neurons in very different ways. And there are different kinds of brain chemistries, as well as genetic predispositions, that make some people much more vulnerable to alcoholism in the first place. Peter Banas.
One of the things that we have to make clear is that alcoholism is almost certainly not a single disease or disorder. I believe that the very near future, we will be talking about the alcoholisms.
This fact, that alcoholism can be caused by more than one factor, has complicated the search for really good medication that would treat it. Take naltrexone, which was approved in 1995. Naltrexone blocks the brain's opioid receptors, which make alcohol feel good.
That was the great hope. It kind of crumbled in our hands.
In part because on a lot of people, naltrexone has no effect at all. They're just wired differently. So researchers are now targeting other aspects of brain chemistry that might be also involved in alcoholism. Howard Fields is one such person. He directs human clinical research at the Gallo Center in Emeryville. It's an institute devoted to alcoholism and addiction, affiliated with the University of California, San Francisco. What interests him is something familiar to many of us, impulsivity.
And what does that mean is that, well, if you feel like you want to do something, you really don't worry about the consequences. You just go and do it.
Different people are impulsive to different degrees. Same with rats and other animals. From an evolutionary standpoint, this makes sense. You want someone who would, for example,
throw themselves on the hand grenade and save the lives of other people. You know, the same people that wind up in prison might be completely different in a battlefield situation. They may be the heroes.
But in regular life, impulsivity can be a dangerous trait to have.
If you score high on impulsivity, you're at risk to actually become an abuser or an addict. There's no question about that.
Fields says that in some people, this trait can be traced back to a specific gene. If you have it, you're more likely to be impulsive. But here's where it gets interesting. It turns out that there is a drug already on the market that targets a function of that gene. It's called tolcapone, and it's used to treat Parkinson's disease. So what Fields wants to find out is whether tolcapone might actually make people less impulsive. And if that's true, whether it can help them limit their drinking. He's pretty excited about this.
It would be radical. Why bother doing anything else?
Of course, even if this drug works for some people, it won't work for everyone. The fact that there are alcoholisms, as Peter Banas puts it, means there may never be a single miracle drug. But whatever the future holds, the goal of treatment will always look more or less the same. More people, like Joseph McHugh, who have made the life-changing decision to get and stay sober.
No, I'm sort of glad that everything is where it is right now, yeah. Because it is a change, and it's a necessary change.
For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with additional support from the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation.